Let's pray. Father, we pray here in this moment is that we would surrender to your love. God, would you comfort our hearts for those of us that come with heavy hearts, God? I know even for me, as I am somewhat distracted because some of the people that I thought for sure would be here aren't here, God. Would you just encourage our hearts? Would you speak to us, those that are here? Speak your word to us, God. As the text that we're about to look at, as you said, Jesus, is that you have lit a lamp and you've placed it out on a stand for all to see, God. I pray that today, that this morning, that we would see. Would you expose all the darkness that's in our hearts? And today, would we confess our sin before you as you expose that, Father? We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Since you're standing, why don't you go ahead and grab your Bible, and we will look at together today's text. We are in the series that we have been in for a couple of years now. This is our meat and potatoes. This is our main assault that we are on. The main primary series that we are in is a series called, in the Gospel of Luke, called No Ordinary Man. And from time to time, we just take a time out from that and preach another series. But we are here. We are dedicated to working our way through Luke. And it's beneficial. I know for me, I enjoy the little breaks we take in it. But I also enjoy getting back to the Gospel of Luke and just looking at it piece by piece and seeing Christ in his full divinity and his full humanity. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're in Luke, the 11th chapter. It's like the fourth week we've been in the 11th chapter of Luke. But it's all been good stuff. I think the problem sometimes as a church and in preaching, and we're going to discuss this a little bit in depth this morning, is we want to be entertained. And so we look at too much of Scripture and we kind of run through it with generalizations instead of diving in and taking our time. Because we know that a lot of us get bored real easily. And so we want to just like, okay, what's this broad topic that we can speak about? Instead of really diving in and looking at, like this morning, we're going to look at three verses. And so we're really slowing down here in the 11th chapter because there's just so much meatiness and goodness here. We're trying to gain it all from Scripture. So Luke 11, 33 through 36, and we'll just look at this together. He says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright as when a lamp with its rays give you light." Thank you. You could be seated. You know, I just be real. We value authenticity. We say that like every week. We value authenticity. And I just want to be authentic with you. And I just want to provide some encouragement for some of you. I got to tell you what my base emotion is as I stand up here. Is I feel kind of foolish. I feel real foolish today because this week I had three different conversations with three different individuals, and all three individuals asked me about church. You know, again, not that I was like out papering the neighborhood or anything like that, you know, knocking on doors and inviting people, but had deep, meaningful conversation with individuals and talked to them and invited them to church. All three individuals, pretty far from God, one of which was like, "Dude, I promise you'll see me there Sunday morning." And you know, I gave him like the GPS coordinates to the church, you know, so he could hone in, know what time it is. "Dude, you know, it'd be so great. It'd be so awesome if you're here." And then all through worship this morning, I just kept looking over my shoulder. And you know, the Joker never showed up, you know. And I know even this morning, the first conversation I had with anybody when I walked into the church was the same conversation. Someone had told me, they say, "You know, so-and-so, I think so-and-so is going to be here today." And I know this person. I was like, "Really?" He was like, "Yeah. You know, I just hit it home with him last night, had great conversation, just, dude, you need to be here." And, you know, that individual didn't show up. And for those of you that are here that feel in the same place that I feel, a little foolish because you've invited folks and you've invited them and you've invited them and you've invited them and they don't come and they don't show and you just kind of feel like, you know, what's up with that? What's God doing in that? I just want to encourage you that you're doing your job. So we look at this passage of scripture. That's what Christ is saying is our job is to light the lamp, set it out there. And then what God does on the other end is up to God. That's his part to attract them. For those of you that aren't in relationship with someone right now, you're not inviting anybody. You're not having good, solid conversation where you could tell them about your church, tell them about Christ, tell them your story. I just want to encourage you to be on your knees in prayer, asking God, God, who is it that you could place in my path? Is it my neighbor? Is it a coworker? You know, we're surrounded with people that need to know the good news. And sometimes the good news could be just as easy as you telling them. Like, I was telling this guy about my church, and he told me, he's like, Andy, I haven't seen you like in 10 years this excited about something. I was like, I'm really excited about what God's doing here at the Point. I really am excited about God transforming lives and what we're seeing here. And anyway, he's sleeping in. We pray for him. Pray God doesn't give him cancer or something like that. No, I'm joking. That's not how God works. God's grace. I'm joking. All right. Let's look at this. Let's unpack this passage of scripture. Luke 11. We're going to just take it kind of verse by verse. The first part is Christ's part, what Christ is teaching. Christ tells in this mixed crowd, this mixed group of people, he's started working. He's cast out a demon. He's doing all of this stuff. He's teaching. He's taught his disciples. In the beginning, it was just Jesus praying. And this is how Jesus works. In the beginning, see this in the 11th chapter. In the beginning, it's just Jesus praying by himself. A few of his disciples come in. Then they ask Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. So Jesus starts teaching his disciples. As he starts teaching his disciples, more people kind of funnel in to hear the teaching. Then some Pharisees, some Jews come in with questions and problems. The religious kind of filter in. They get all of these questions and objections to Jesus. So they start launching out accusations to Jesus. Jesus doesn't stop. He continues teaching. Then a person shows up that's being tormented by demons. Jesus like just takes a time out for a second, casts out the demon. Then they kind of question Jesus about that. And he just keeps teaching. And the longer Jesus teaches, the more and the more people are there. So in the beginning, it's just his disciples. And now there's like this whole crowd around Jesus. And then this is what Jesus says. It's no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but you place it on a stand so that those may enter, may see the light. This is what Christ is teaching here. What he's saying is, Jesus is saying is, I am this lamp. I am this lamp, and this light that you're seeing is my message. It's just like, he's saying, I am a lamp that's being lit for all to see. He's saying that I'm not teaching in a clandestine way, that I'm not doing something secretive here, because you got to remember, they just accused Jesus of using the power of Satan. I mean, they just accused the Son of God of being basically demon-possessed and tapping into the power of Satan to use his power to cast out a demon. And Jesus has just called them a wicked and sinful generation. They've asked Jesus, they say, Jesus, show us a sign. Show us some sign that you're really who you say you are. Let's see something. You know, kind of Jesus works a miracle. You know, kind of reminds me of, you ever seen like the cartoon of the guy that, like, you know, he plays the song and the monkey does the dance? That's kind of what they're saying is, we're going to play a song, Jesus, and we want to see you do a little dance. And Jesus, you know, I don't dance for anybody. It's basically what Jesus just told him. And now what he's saying is I'm not doing anything secretively, but I'm plainly making known the way of salvation to all mankind. That this isn't a secret revolt that I'm leading against the Jews. That I'm lighting a lamp, I'm setting it out on a stand so that everyone could see it. My teaching is plain teaching. It's not confusing teaching. The truths in Scripture are not in there so that they confound us or twist our mind or make us have to really think really hard or be tricky or be like a puzzle. The truths that Jesus are teaching are plain. They're out there for all to see. He's saying this. He's saying, you want to see a sign? You've asked to see a sign. I am the sign, is what Jesus is saying. I'm the sign. My light, my life, my example, my message. This is the sign. It's been lit by God, and it's been placed out here on a stand for all to hear it, for all to see it, for all to believe in it. Now, for us here at the Point, this is formative. This understanding that the gospel is not to be veiled or to be confusing, or the gospel is for some and not for others. This idea that the gospel is for everybody is formative for us here at the Point. In fact, if you look over here on the wall, these kind of four words that we've adopted that are our core values of who we are, if there's a value and that we could just kind of highlight that speaks about everything of who we are, it would be the value of truth. Is we want the truth of Scripture, the light that is being lit. We want it to permeate everything that we say and everything that we do. That one of our key expressions of us as a church and our understanding is our job is to make the truth plain. Plain preaching of the truth every week. That's why every week when you attend here, we take out a Bible and we open it up and we look at a passage of Scripture. Now, I'm not speaking bad. We're not in competition with other churches, but I just know your story, you've heard mine, but I have attended churches before. Sat through the entire church service, and sometimes it'd be like an hour and 15 minutes, and never one time opened my Bible. And I just kind of walked away from that going, what was that all about? What the preacher said was good? What he said was engaging? What he said, was there shreds of truth to that? Yes, but where's Scripture? Our job, what we feel, our expression, our desire is to teach truth. That's why, again, every week when you come here, we're not just taking a passage or our ideas, our plan, our sermon, and then trying to knit Scripture around that to kind of validate that. Every week when you come, we're going to open up the Bible. We're going to look at huge chunks of Scripture or small chunks of Scripture. We're going to teach from that. We allow Scripture to be the light. Our job, we work hard here to put, to put the lamp on the stand and to let it shine. My preaching professor, he always said this, is it's our job to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Our job is to put Scripture where people can understand it, to put the truth out there, plainly making it known to everyone. And that's really what our job is. Like for me, I share this a lot. I don't think that I am all that smart. I don't know why. I don't think that about me. Maybe I am. Maybe it's us of us that don't feel like geniuses are the geniuses. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody that thought they were really smart and they weren't all that smart? Maybe the opposite is true. I tell this every week, but right now the book that is like radically changing my life is the storybook devotional that I'm reading to my kids at night. And actually now Kennedy's reading it to me. It's like it's like flipped. And now I'm like, because I love to hear her read, Scripture. So I'm like, Kennedy, go get your storybook Bible and read it to Daddy, So now she's like reading me my bedtime devotion and it's awesome. And it really is a devotion for me, changing my, it's really changing my life. But that's our desire is we know that and we believe that is that Scripture should be preached. It should be easily understood. It should be plain and placed out there for everyone to see. And that's what Jesus is saying here in Luke 11:33 is. He's saying that, look, I'm not trying to deceive anyone. I'm not trying to twist anyone and pull them away from the Jewish religion or do anything like that. I'm just being the light and letting the light shine for us. That's his part. His part is to put forth the light. In verses 34 and 35, we'll look at that and we'll see what our part is and what he's saying to this audience. Here's your part. Verses 34, he says this, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Our value is to teach truth, to let the light shine. But on the opposite side of that, for us, not just for even for us as preachers and teachers of the truth, our job is to consume truth. We can place a lamp out here, and that's what Jesus is saying. I can let this light shine. But if no one looks upon it, no one allows the light to penetrate their eye, to come in and to change them, then what's the big deal with it anyway? We can teach truth week after week after week. But if we're not consumers of truth, if we're not taking it in, looking upon the light, letting the light change our hearts, changes our lives, then it's just a big circle. We're wasting our time. Some people, though, and even maybe some of us, and this is what Jesus is teaching here. Some people, you can't see the light because of the darkness that's in you. Some of us have blinders to the light. That even though week in and week out, you read Scripture, you hear Scripture, you listen to Scripture week in and week out, but for some of you, Scripture doesn't change you. Some of us, it's because we've never surrendered to the gospel. Some of us have never just let go and leaned into God's calling in our lives to call us into relationship to himself. Others of us, it's because we've got sin in our lives, this darkness inside of us. I know I can look back on my Christian life and I can see periods of time where I was still faithful in reading scripture, but it wasn't affecting me much. It wasn't changing my heart. It wasn't causing me repentance in my life. It's reminiscent of what Paul said to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:7, he says that will be a group of people, that they'll be always learning. They'll be always learning, but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. They're always hearing the truth, always learning the truth, always opportunity, but they never get to the end point of giving in to the truth, coming to a knowledge of the truth. He says in 2 Timothy 4:3, he says, in same kind of thought there, he says, the time's coming when people won't desire sound biblical teaching. But what they're going to want, and they're even going to gather up for themselves, is teachers that tickle their ears, that just tell them what they want to hear, that just entertain them. That in fact, like for us, one of the biggest like affronts to some of us would be if he's like, you know, man, I had a good time. You know, not that we always want to just preach hellfire and brimstone and beat everybody down, but our job's not to entertain people either. There are people that have that come to church and their desire is to be entertained. And that's not to mean that preaching of the gospel should be boring or dull or anything like that. No, in fact, I work in it in just the opposite. In fact, last week in my PCG, that's what I said is, you know, just pray for me this week as I'm prepared for my sermon. I was like, you know, when I prepare a sermon, I want to be honest with the text, and I want to be faithful to the text, and I want to be funny. That's, you know, kind of my two goals. And, you know, I usually strike out in both areas, but that's okay. God's working on me. But the darkness that's in us, sometimes it's the darkness that's in us, these blinders that we have in us, prevent us from seeing the light, from seeing the gospel. And over time, for some of us, it could even be to the place where we don't even care about the preaching or the teaching of the truth. We just want to be entertained. We just want to have our ears tickled. We just want to hear something funny or something informative or you know, something else. You know, what is all that about? Every week, you know, we hear the gospel. Every week it's the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. Teach us something new. Teach us something new. I know I've heard that before in churches where I've served. If someone would say, you know, Andy, that's great, but I really came wanting to hear a fresh word, a new word from God. And I was like, well, here's the fresh word, the new word. It's the gospel, repent. That's the fresh word. That's the new word. Grow in the gospel. As we read scripture, this is what Jesus is saying, that we have to be careful. That when your eye is healthy, the whole body is full of light. But when your eyes are bad, when the way that you perceive things, the way that you see the gospel, when it is bad, then your whole body is full of darkness. Some of us, we need to deal with our own sin. We need to deal with the darkness that's in us, our brokenness. We need to deal with our own prejudices we have towards people or towards others or towards God or towards the Bible. We need to deal with our own attitudes that we have towards others. We really need to look at that. When we look at scripture, we really have to allow it to penetrate inside of us and let it expose all of the darkness. Because if we don't, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll distort scripture. Is what will happen is because of the darkness that's in us, is we will start taking scripture and distorting it and making it to support our own sinfulness. And I know that sounds crazy, but the truth is we just need to be honest when we approach scripture. When we read scripture, we need to allow it to be the light, come into our eyes and expose the darkness. Some of you are like, you know, how would we ever twist or distort scripture to support our own sinfulness? I was thinking about it this way, and here's something that I know I struggle with. The scripture says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Let no unwholesome talk come from your mouth. But you know what I say a lot of times is, yeah, but it's funny. You know, my jokes, my innuendo, my, you know, my little cuts, my little slams, my little sarcasm, but it's funny. And it is funny, you know, it is funny, but it's also sinful sometimes. Because scripture says, let no unwholesome talk come from your mouth. I read that. I see that. But sometimes I go, yeah, but you know what? I'm funny. And it's part of my humor. It's part of who I am. It's part of my rawness. So it doesn't really apply to me. See, I'm twisting scripture and thinking that doesn't apply. Scripture says, do not worry about, because what can you add by worrying? What can you add to your life? Give no thought to your life, but trust God. That's what scripture says. And some of us, we say, you know, if I don't worry, if I don't take care of this, then it's not going to get taken care of, you know? I mean, but this is a huge problem. I mean, I know scripture and God and Christ has promised not to worry, that he's going to take care of it. But if I don't worry about it, who's going to take care of this? Scripture says, but if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery. Some of us say, well, you know, it's not really lust. Others think, you know, well, it's not really my fault. It's, you know, my parents' fault or my wife's fault, you know. She'd help a fella out, you know. I wouldn't have to turn to looking at other junk. You know, we make all these excuses and twist scripture. But what we really need to do is we really just need to be honest when we look at scripture, when we read scripture, when we hear a message. Like me, you know, I'm thinking my buddy needed to hear, you know, what I was going to preach. You need to hear, but you know who needs to hear the most today's sermon? I do. It's not for anybody else. It's for me. We need to be honest. I had a guy when I was working. So those of you that don't know me, I work full time in the construction field, and we work a lot with the city of Lexington. And there was this guy who actually his name is Jimmy Campbell. He just passed away last summer. He was like 81 years old. And Mr. Jimmy used to be like the top guy over the whole sewer plant, the whole sewer deal for Lexington. He retired. He'd come back and do this job. He would retire for a couple more years. He'd come back. You know, he did it for like 20 years. And finally, he landed and he was an inspector. So he'd just drive out on the job site and make sure we were doing the job right, shoot the bull with us, you know, hang out with us and do this. And Mr. Jimmy was a great guy. I really, really liked him, really enjoyed him. He had some awesome stories. And one day Jimmy told me this story. And when he told me this story, I just thought, man, that's what we need to do with, I mean, immediately I was like, that's what we need to do with scripture. And this is my youth pastor coming out with me in this story. But Mr. Jimmy told me this story. He said that when he grew up in Eastern Kentucky, and he said whenever he was in like the fifth or sixth grade, they had this rather large class for the area. You know, he said it was a rather large school, kind of nice. He said we had a three-story schoolroom. And he said, you know, it was like on the first floor was all the, you know, kindergarten, and then it would be, you know, it kind of moved on up to elementary age, and then the top was mostly offices and a few of like what would be middle school classes upstairs. And Jimmy said that he got moved when he was like in the sixth grade. He said he remembered he got moved to the back of the classroom beside the window, and he said, I was surrounded by girls. He said there were like all these young girls all around me. So he said the first couple days I was kind of nervous. He said, I got my nerves up, and I thought, you know, I've got to do something to impress these girls that are around me. So he went home one evening, and he stole some of his dad's chewing tobacco to impress these girls. So he took out a handkerchief. He said, I remember ripping off a plug of tobacco. I wrapped it up in the handkerchief. I stuck it in my pocket. He said, I went to school that day. He said, I sat through school, sat there back in the back of the classroom, sat through lunch. He said, finally, I worked my nerve up. He said, I pulled out that handkerchief. I unfolded it. Pulled out that plug of tobacco, and he said, I put it in. Put it up there. He said, I was sitting back like big stuff, chewing on my tobacco. He said, a little bit went by. He said, I worked up, you know, big spit. He says, I reached over, opened the window, let it fly out the window like a real man. He said, I didn't even look where I was spitting. He said, the principal of the school had just stepped out of the front door, turned, and he said, it was like slow motion. He said, the principal stopped, looked up in the window. He said, there I was, still hanging out the window. He said, the principal looked at me, pointed two times, and then pointed to the third floor, his office window. Jimmy said, I never said a word. Jimmy said, I just asked to be excused from the classroom. He said, I got up, went out the door, went to the trash can, spit out the tobacco. He said, I walked up the steps to the third floor. He said, when the principal came up to the third floor, Jimmy said, I was just standing there beside his office door. Jimmy said, I never said a word. So there was no need in it. There was no need to come up with excuses. There was no need to try to rationalize, talk my way out of it. I had been caught red-handed. He said, the principal walked over, walked to his door, reached in his pocket, pulled out his keys, unlocked the door, opened the door. Jimmy walked in behind him, shut the door behind him. Principal walked over, pulled the paddle off the wall. Jimmy said, I walked over, bent over the desk. Principal came over, wham, 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 three swats. Jimmy turned, shook his head at him, walked out the door. He said, me and the principal never exchanged a single word. No need in it. I'd been caught red-handed. That's honesty. That's the way that we really need to face the truth. When this light that's lit shines, we see it. What we really need to do is just be honest with ourselves. Be honest with Scripture. No need in making excuses. Some of us, we're caught red-handed. What we need to do is face our punishment, repent from it, learn our lesson, turn and walk away. Quit trying to make excuses when it comes to Scripture, because this is the truth, what Jesus is saying here. Look at this. Verse 35, therefore be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Be careful. Listen, you cannot always control the darkness. You cannot always control the darkness that's in you. Some of you think that you have it hidden inside your heart. It's your little deal that you do. No one knows about it. You know, we erase it, we backtrack it, whatever you got to do, but it's hidden from you. Let me tell you this, it's not hidden. You live your life not to impress your wife, not to impress your church, not to impress us as pastors. The people that you live your life to impress is an audience of one, Jesus Christ, God the Father. You know, that's who you're living your life to impress, not us as a church. In fact, I'm more impressed with some of you, you know, when you tell me your faults, honestly. I'm more impressed with that. I'm more impressed with some of you that you're honest and authentic with your flaws instead of trying to hide them. When you come and say, pray for me, I've got this struggle in front of me. Pray for me. You know, it's this deal, it's a simple desire that just keeps, you know, falling. Pray for me in this. It will always catch up with you. Remember the old movie, you know, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? You know, and all of a sudden he can no longer control it. It starts coming out whenever, you know, you least expect it. The same thing is true. Be careful lest the light in you is really darkness. Be careful that you haven't distorted Scripture so much to support your own, you know, sinfulness, that the light that you think is gospel, the truth that you think is you're sharing with people, is really just religion and legalism. A couple years ago, whenever John Martin and myself and another man, Dr. Sam Malaika, we were before the point began, we were talking and praying about planting a church. You know, it looks eerily similar to the point here in Frankfurt. We're praying about that. And I remember we had a service one time, and I preached a sermon. The sermon text was, you know, that it's not by works that you've been saved, but it's through faith, you know, by faith, through grace, is how God works. It's by his grace. And I remember after preaching that sermon, there was a guy that was attending there that was a church member. And he said, you know, I just not up for all that, you know, free gift salvation stuff. And I was like, do what? He's like, yeah, man, all that grace stuff. He said, it just says that anybody can come and be a Christian, that you don't have to do anything to be a Christian. You just got to come and, you know, God's going to save you. And he's like, yeah, it's not all about that. Where's our works involved with that? You know, how do we work it out? How do we figure it out? What about our actions? That was what he said. And I was like, dude, you got a problem with, you know, grace? God's grace? Again, a perfect example of someone that the light had been twisted in him, and the light that he thought he was shining, the truth that he thought he was shining, was actually darkness, bringing bondage to people instead of speaking the truth. You know, he was stumbling over Scripture that is by grace that we've been saved. Be careful that the light in you isn't darkness. Verse 36, if then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays give you light. If then, though, you look upon Christ and you take in all of you, all of his fullness of his light, allowing him to expose all the darkness inside you and transform that into the light, then you are free to shine. Free to shine. Free to be the one like Christ, a lamp that's being lit to illuminate. Free to shine. And that's our prayer for you. Our prayer for you isn't just you fit into society and vote the right way and do all the right stuff in society. Our prayer for you as pastors is that you would be disciples and followers of Christ, that you would be the ones to shine forth his light, that you would be free to shine in all of his glory, that you would illuminate him in your daily life more fully, not to speak about the church, but to speak about the beauty and the goodness of Christ. That's our prayer. But it only works when we're honest with Scripture. It only works when we're honest with the Lord and we allow him to expose all of our darkness, when we look fully upon him, taking all of him into us and allow him to change and transform all of him. Then, it says, then you will be fully bright. That's our prayer. As Rick comes to lead us in a time of communion, in a time of prayer, a time of reflection, it's my prayer is that all of us would be honest and we would stand before God, as David said, and we would say, test me, try me, prove me, look inside of me and see if there's any offensive way in me, God. Expose the darkness that's inside of me. Some of you, you've never surrendered to the gospel. Maybe you go through the road of taking communion because that's what everybody else does. Everybody else takes the Lord's Supper, and so that's what you've been doing, but you know deep down in your heart, you've never fully surrendered to the gospel. You've never fully embraced the light, and there's all this darkness inside of you. You know it, you feel it, you believe it. It doesn't mean you're a bad, evil, horrible person. You're just, you're just full of sin. You're just a sinner, like all of us were at one time. Believe that. All of us, me included, was a sinner at one time. Come today. Come today and be honest with God. No more excuses. No more rationalizations. Just come today and be honest with God. Cry out to him. Repent. Turn from your sin. Confess it before God. I think that's one of the most difficult disciplines. It's the discipline of true confession. You know, it's a discipline whenever you tell a little white lie. It's a discipline where you go before God and you just say this. You say, God, I'm a liar. I am a liar. That's tough to say. God, you know, I've cheated. I am a cheater. God, I have committed adultery on my wife because of the thoughts that I have had about this coworker or about this person, about this model or whatever. I am an adulterer. Have mercy on me. That's a tough, tough discipline. But it's our prayer is that today, some of you would just be honest with God. It's not like he's ignorant of it. Be honest with God. Father, as we look to your sacrifice and as we look to your table, expose with your light. Expose the darkness that's inside of us. Let your light shine in this moment. Christ, we believe that about you, that you are the lamp that has been lit. Your message, your truth, this gospel, this scripture that we hold in our hands, that God, that it's true and it's plain for us. So God, we just ask now is that you would use it to expose all of our darkness before you, God, and that we would be honest before you and come to a place of repentance before we take of this cup and eat of this bread. It's in Christ's name that we pray.